If you're in the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace where each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. If you're in the market, use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Gale and Company weekday mornings 6 till 10.
Thursday morning. Welcome back in. Gale and Company, fourth and final hour here on this Thursday morning. Nick Thon and Greg. Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Get us on the free Odyssey app. Watch us live on YouTube, as many of you like to do. Brian Kester handling the music again from King Shooter Supply, King of Prussia. Donated $500 to the Families Behind the Badge Children's Foundation. You can do that. You can donate. You can ride. The ride is coming up July 21st. $6,500 so far. Working our way towards a goal of $20,000. I think we'll be there before the 4th of July, is my guess.
Wow.
I'd like to be at $15,000. By Father's Day.
So we just need, like, we need some big swinging.
Some biggity big, as Dalton would say. Where's all the biggity bigs at?
I'm trying to control my language here.
Yeah. Somebody with a big old checkbook.
To just drop 10K for the Families Behind the Badge
right now.
Children's Foundation.
Yeah.
Can you do that right now at 904?
Yeah. That'd be nice.
If you have 10K that you can put into a charity, you're probably working right now. So
855-839-1210.
Working since 6 a.m.
That's correct. Because as you know,
we start at 6 a.m. Yeah. But all the money goes to the Families Behind the Badge Children's Foundation. Yeah, we're getting a lot of really big donations, which is nice. Linda Kearns donated $1,000. Brian Kester, as you said, from King Shooter's Supply in King of Prussia, donated $500. We're getting a lot of $500 donations. That's great. You can donate 10 bucks.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It all helps. We kid. A $10,000 donation would be fabulous.
Yeah.
But
there you go.
GregStockerSucks.com. Go there.
Indeed. Morning mystery movie clip in about 15 minutes. David Gelman, criminal defense attorney, at the bottom of the hour as jury deliberations are set to resume in just about 25 minutes as they will rehear instructions as well as key testimony. Kellyanne Conway with a couple of interesting tidbits on her Twitter feed that I want to get to in a moment. But let me grab David in Delaware first. David has been on hold since Monday afternoon. David, good morning. How are you, sir?
I'm just fine. Good morning, lady and gentlemen.
Yes.
Hey, I was just curious. Whatever the jury comes back with, can the judge say, well, I don't accept that, so I'll just render my own judgment?
Well, if they get the hung jury, they can instruct him, and we read you some of the instructions in the first half of the show this morning, to go back in and deliberate even further. So, for example, if you have 11 that are voting guilty, and you have one who is the standout, or two people, they can go back in and basically try to hash out their disagreements and differences and arrive at a unanimous decision.
Okay.
Make sense?
Well, it does, but I was just curious if the judge could step in and say, no, screw it.
You mean like a directed verdict?
I guess. I was just curious, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to ask that question at the bottom of the hour to David Gelman. He's a criminal defense attorney. He's been on Fox and Newsmax a lot. So, David, stay tuned for that. He'll be with us in about 24 minutes. That I don't have the answer to.
Yeah, we talked about the directed verdict yesterday.
Right.
I just think, I will be honest, I think the way this is going, I still stand by what I said, even though I hope I'm wrong, that we are going to see at least, because of the judge's instructions, we're going to see at least one out of the 34.
Yeah.
One, at least one guilty and probably at least nine.
I'm going to pick through the trash can here and grab these hung jury directives again and read this to the audience. So if you missed it, it was in the 6 o'clock hour or the 7 o'clock hour. By the way, if you ever wanted to see a radio host on YouTube, pick through the trash can.
You do it a lot.
Get to, yeah, because I toss my stories away as we go along.
Yeah.
But hold on a second.
Yeah, so the judge, the bottom line in this, the judge has so much power.
That, of course they can.
Right? And so, but the power, I think the power play happened about 9 days ago when the defense lost their battle, their battles with the with how the judge would give the instructions. And I think that it's that old saying, the details, you know, the devil is in the details. This was a done deal. And I think we saw in Trump's demeanor over the past week, he knew it. His lawyers warned him. And when he came out, was that yesterday? And he said, you know, Mother Teresa could not be this fixed. Basically, I'm paraphrasing, but Mother Teresa could not fix this, could not
beat these charges.
These charges. Thank you. I think that they've known that the fix was in once these instructions came out, and everybody everywhere is saying this is unheard of, that a judge would basically tell the jury, you know, if he's guilty of something, if you just smell a whiff of something.
It's not exactly what he said.
Basically what he said.
It's not exactly what he said.
You think he's guilty of something, you can mix and match. I mean, come on.
You're kind of picking off of a menu a la carte, right? Yeah, if you want the sweet potato, you can grab that. If you want the salad, you can go with that. If you want the this, that, the other thing, you can go with that. It is extremely rare. I'm going to ask, that's another question I have for Gelman at 9:30, how often this actually occurs. So here we go. I've pilfered through the trash. If what happens if there is a hung jury in Trump's New York hush money trial? So here, this is the breakdown from independent.co.uk. A unanimous decision is required under New York law to secure either the conviction of a criminal defendant or their acquittal. Everything else will result in a hung jury. Simply put, that means it takes just one dissenting voice among the dozen jurors to leave the case in a state of limbo. If such a disagreement arises, but the gap between the two camps is relatively small, for instance, if 11 jurors are in agreement with only one person holding out, their foreperson will report the impasse back to Judge Mershon, who will then urge them to go away and resume their discussions in the hope of finding common ground, an instruction known as an Allen or a dynamite charge. But if a consensus still cannot be reached, however long that might take, and they go back to the judge and they say, we are still in the same spot we were X amount of minutes or hours ago, the judge will be forced to declare a mistrial. If that scenario comes to pass, it will fall to Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg to decide whether he wishes or feels it is worthwhile to attempt to retry the case. I said earlier this morning, I think he would probably like to retry it if this plays out the way I just read it. That being said, Stocker, I think you're right when you said it's not going to go in his favor, right? Like, when you retry, I don't even know if there's the statistics out there when these mistrial happens, or mistrials happen, where you go back and you retry it under the discretion of the prosecutor saying, hey, let me take a second swing at it. That the success rate, I would have to imagine, is very minimal.
Yes, so to answer the gentleman's question who called in, it was, yes, I mean, of course, the judge can overrule a jury's verdict, but the especially for this case, he would have to be a well.
Well, on second thought,
I mean, there's so much at stake in this that I would almost. It's yes, he can. No, he won't. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah. And if you think this is all coordinated from the Biden DOJ, if you are, you know, one of these individuals with knowledge, perhaps allegedly behind the scenes of any coordinated attempt, because remember, all these cases last year in the spring of 2023, remember how they all kind of stacked up in a row? First, it was Alvin Bragg. I think that was March of 2023. Then the next one came, and then the next one came, and it was March, April, May, or March, April, June. You can sit there and say, well, all right, we swung and missed on the Alvin Bragg case, but we still have Georgia with Fonnie Willis. We still have classified documents in Mar-a-Lago. We still have January 6th. We still have Jack Smith, yada, yada, yada. So if they are of the belief that, man, we've got four shots here at getting Trump and labeling him as a convicted felon or putting him in jail or whatever the MO might be, you know, they have one down, three to go. I want to read this from Kellyanne Conway, though. Very, very, very smart lady. Anytime she speaks, we like to play her clips on this show. And this is from her Twitter feed, at Kellyanne Polls, P-O-L-L-S. What if Trump is not convicted? Many polls ask how a Trump conviction would affect their vote or affect his chances in 2024. We asked the other question, what happens if Trump is acquitted or if there is a hung jury? Our latest swing state polling shows the following, and this is from Kellyanne Conway's polling data. 2 in 10 people across Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Michigan would be more likely to vote for Trump this fall if acquitted or if there's a hung jury. 4 in 10 people say that it would improve his chances of winning. Young men, non-whites, and urban voters are more likely than the average to say they would vote for Trump if this happens. Over half in each state say no conviction would have no impact on their vote, including hardcore partisans. Given the political leanings of New York City, the judge, and key evidence excluded from the jury, a risk of conviction remains, but a non-conviction would make Trump unstoppable. That is from Kellyanne Conway.
We said that last week.
Yeah, I don't know how many people truly will be altered one way or the other, because I think sadly in this country, most people tune out a lot of the noise. Like, we talk about this for a living. A lot of you that listen, I don't know, 7 out of 10 probably consume this stuff super, super, super hardcore. 30% of you might tune in to be educated, whatever it is, that you don't have the time to stay on Twitter all day like we do or read these things on these live tracking sites. It just seems to me that most Americans, and maybe rightfully so, maybe most Americans just tune out the noise with Biden and Trump when it comes to, allegations and court cases, because at the end of the day, they only care about the economy, or they only care about abortion, or they only care about the border, or some combination of two or three. And I think that's one thing that I always try to keep in mind, that 95% of people aren't living it moment by moment,
of course,
like
not.
I am.
They're not.
And that's why it doesn't.
They know what's going on. They know what's happening. They're not following this like we are.
Yeah.
And that's why at the end of the day, it's not gonna amount to jack, you know what, as far as public opinion.
Yeah, but in this case, all you have to know is that the judge in this case, Judge Mershon, what he told his instructions are that you have these underlying crimes. So that's remember we talked about how are they going to thread the needle, because the feds didn't even go for this, thought they didn't have it and couldn't prove it in court.
Yep.
This is how they thread this needle. The judge did this. It was like 9 days ago, as I recall.
Mm-hmm.
So what he's saying is there are three underlying crimes that are these allegations. But you have to believe then on top of that, that there was this intent by Trump.
Yeah.
So you have a two-pronged approach. Normally, you would have to say, yes, I think the person did X, fill in the blank. They committed this crime. And yes, on that crime, yes, there was intent. What the judge is saying is, hey, if there was any crime and any intent on any of them, go for it. That is what is unprecedented. This is unheard of. I mean, to me, covering trials in my life as a news reporter, I mean, this is nuts.
Andy McCarthy said this is outrageous. We played you this earlier this morning. This was Andy McCarthy, Fox News, former federal prosecutor, when this 4x4x4 ruling came down yesterday to the jury. Here was his reaction right around lunchtime on Fox News. Take a listen and watch this.
Well, let me ask you about the three choices. And one thing in particular that this judge said that these jurors could do. He just delivered what is being called really the pinnacle of all of this. He said that there is no need to agree on what has occurred. They can disagree on what the crime was among the three choices. Thus, this means that they could split 4-4-4 and the judge would still treat them unanimously. What does that mean?
Yeah, Well, it's really outrageous because in a normal criminal case, every statutory crime has what we call elements of the offense. Like in a bank robbery case, it's, you know, you have to rob. It's got to be a financial institution. You have to show intent. Those are the things the jury has to agree on unanimously that they were proved beyond a reasonable doubt. Here, what we're doing is taking the element that actually makes this a felony, because remember, falsification of records is normally a misdemeanor in New York. What makes it a felony is that you're concealing or committing another crime. And here the judge is telling them they don't have to agree about what the other crime is under circumstances where that not only is what makes this a felony, what makes it a four-year potential prison penalty rather than a year or less, but it's also what gets us into the courtroom, because if this had been a misdemeanor, the time to bring this case would have lapsed in 2019. So the only reason they're still able to bring this case is because it's a felony, allegedly, and yet now the judge is saying, you know, you don't have to agree on what the felony is.
Pretty remarkable stuff. David Gelman will join us in about 13 minutes. He said the following yesterday when I asked him on Twitter. I said, I'd love to know how often this type of jury instruction from a judge is given. Is this common, David? He said it's as common as Joe Biden putting a full sentence together. The issue is one of many rulings that the judge has made totally incorrectly and would be reversed. He said he has never seen an indictment not charge an actual crime. This judge should have dismissed the case on its face alone. He just ripped up the Constitution, made an absolute mockery of the legal system. So we'll get more analysis from him coming up at the bottom of the hour. But this is, I think, almost short of the guy that we played for you on the cut sheet from MSNBC, where he was glowing and gushing over how Judge Juan Merchan is a beacon of jurisprudence. Almost everybody unanimously, Turley, McCarthy, even on CNN. We haven't played Ellie Honig in the last couple of days, but he's kind of ripped a lot of this to shreds as well.
Can I play that guy again? That's Andrew Weissman, MSNBC's. Yes. Andrew Weissman. Phil, if you can pull up cut 7 again here. This is the most outrageous piece of audio I think I've seen in the last week or so.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew Weissman on his man crush, his love for Judge Merchan. Cut 7, Phil, go.
With, as you've noted, with respect to Judge Merchan, I mean, I am like now, you know, I felt like a man crush on him. He is such a great judge that it's hard to see that the jurors wouldn't have the same impression. I mean, he's just, you just keep on thinking, if you looked in a dictionary for like judicial temperament, that's what you get.
He loves him. He loves him.
Man, we've heard some stuff from MSNBC, but that might take the, even Joy Reid thinks that's excessive.
Yeah, I feel like
Rachel Maddow's offended by that.
Yeah, boy, dial it back there a little bit. Like,
wow.
First of all, this Andrew Weissman, I don't know him, so this is just my opinion. But like looking at him and hearing him, he just sounds like a creep to me.
Is he beta as well, Greg?
I have no idea what any of that is, but he just seems like the way he talks about things, it just seems really creepy. And if I'm MSNBC, if I'm the producer of that show, I'm not bringing him back.
Yeah,
like dude, you're like. We're having you on here because you're a lawyer, mm-hmm. and I want you to analyze the case. I don't want to hear about your man crush on the judge.
He's an American attorney and professor. He was an assistant United States attorney from 1991 to 2002. And of course, he's got his undergrad from Princeton and his law degree from Columbia. Mm-hmm. Columbia. That school should cease to exist. All right, morning mystery movie clip time. Let's give it away. Give it away. Give it away. What do we have today?
And now, the morning mystery movie clip on Kale & Company. Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Focus, dude.
Oh, he lives. Hey, dude.
What happened?
Oh, I saw the whole thing, dude. First you were all like, whoa. And then we were like, whoa. And then you were like, whoa.
What are you talking about?
You, Miniman, taking on the jellies. You got serious thrill issues, dude.
Oh.
Awesome.
Oh, my stomach. Oh.
Oh, man. Hey, no hurling on the shell, dude, okay? Just waxed it.
Think you know what it is? Be called 12 at 855-839-1210, and you could win this great prize.
Oh, that movie came out, if my math is correct, 21 years ago today. And if you can identify it, you get a pair of movie passes to see The Dead Don't Hurt for the nationwide opening. It's coming up tomorrow, Friday, May 31st, from the writer, director, and star Viggo Mortensen comes an epic tale of two pioneers who fight for their relationship and their lives on the Civil War era American frontier. From Shout Studios, The Dead Don't Hurt. That's right, The Dead Don't Hurt. Caller 12. 855-839-1210. The Dead
Don't
Hurt. Back after this with the good. Winner. Thank you very much,
good,
Mr. President.
Friend. Very good.
And David Gelman at the bottom of the hour. He knows more about the law than, well, 99% of us. And we're back after this.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Welcome back in. It's a Thursday morning. Nick, Dawn, and Greg. Jury deliberations resuming in a matter of moments in Manhattan. But before we get to some legal analysis, let's get to our Morning Mystery Movie Clip winner. We have Sarah in Westchester on the line. Sarah, good morning. What movie clip did we just play for you?
Good morning. That was Finding Nemo.
That Sarah. Is correct. Woo. Yes, it was my daughter's fourth grade play just a few weeks ago. Sarah, congratulations. Finding Nemo is the correct answer, and you've got the movie passes for tomorrow night.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Sarah from Westchester. We appreciate you listening and certainly for playing. All right. Let's welcome in David Gelman, criminal defense attorney. You might have seen him on Fox News, Newsmax. He's been on with Zioli and many others breaking down this trial in New York. He's also a proud sponsor of our bike ride coming up, so we appreciate him supporting Team 1210. David, good morning. I know you're in high demand. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, good morning, Nick. I'm doing good, doing well. How's everybody?
Everybody is good, David. I got a bunch of questions for you. Let me start with this. Let's run off the top here. Let's have you break down what exactly the judge did yesterday with these jury instructions from Judge Juan Merchan with this 4-4-4 concept, and just how infrequently this occurs in a criminal proceeding where the jury is given this instruction that Merchan gave yesterday.
Well, what the judge did was rip up the Constitution. That's pretty simple. The jury instruction is something I've never seen in all my years of practicing law, and I've done a ton of jury trials. Usually, in a jury trial, you have to have a unanimous verdict, meaning all 12 jurors have to agree. If all 12 do not, then either it's a not guilty or it's a hung jury, meaning, you know, you have one or two holdouts or more. In this situation, what the judge is saying is, all right, jury, you do not need to have a consensus or a unanimous agreement on what particular crime President Trump committed. All you need is to say that he did commit a crime, and he chose about three different ones. One, a tax fraud, a tax violation. Two, an election violation. And three, the New York state election violations. Now, here's the big problem for everybody. All these things are not allowed to happen because the judge and this court, the Supreme Court of New York, does not have jurisdiction to hear federal election violations and to hear federal election tax frauds. So everything that has occurred so far in the jury instructions is a mockery of the legal system. So this is just ripe for an appeal. And I can probably guarantee you this right now, that the defense team for President Trump already has the appeal rights, appeal forms done. That is ready to be sent. So as soon as this verdict comes down, in the unlikely event that there is a guilty plea, this is going to be appealed so quick your head is going to spin.
And that's exactly what Dawn was talking about earlier this morning. So if he is found guilty, the likelihood upon the appeal that these convictions get tossed based on the belief that Merchan has ruled inappropriately on a multitude of fronts is, what, probably close to 100%, I would presume?
Put it this way. We're going to go to the Atlantic City, and I put it all in black. That's how confident I am. I mean, there's so many appealable issues in this case, And the judge literally, I'm pretty sure that he just wanted to see how many appealable issues he could do for this case. That's really my theory on this, because no judge in the United States, you know, could be as biased as he is. And he's not just, you know, a little biased. He's openly biased. Just what he has done is a total mockery. And frankly, he's going to get admonished. I'm telling you this right now. The New York Bar Association, they may hate Trump, but I'm telling you this, they cannot stand to have a legal scholar on the bench do what he did. It's something that you will never see again. I'm hoping, at least.
David Gelman is with us. Now, David, we had a caller about 20 minutes ago, a David from Delaware, who asked something along the lines, I'm not really sure what exactly he was getting at, whether it was a directed verdict from the judge or if the judge just doesn't like the way the jury rules, if the judge can overrule the jury. Hopefully that makes sense somewhat to you, because he wanted to get that answer. I didn't have it. I said I would ask you. So your answer to that would be what?
So if the judge does not like what the jury is answering, the judge cannot overrule them. So if they come back with a not guilty verdict, the judge can't say, you know what, jury, you're wrong. You can't do this. I'm going to say he's guilty. No, can't do that. Now, this is what the judge can do. Let's say that there's a jury or a juror or two jurors who are, you know, pretty gung-ho that there is not a crime here, and that they are saying, no, they're, you know, we're going to vote not guilty. The judge can order the jury to go back and deliberate again until they come up with a verdict, or, you know, a verdict of guilty or not guilty. Mm-hmm. Now, they could still say, hey, look, we're holding our ground after they deliberate again. And then the judge is going to have to declare a mistrial because of a hung jury. But the judge cannot just say, oh, not guilty? Nope, I don't like that. He's guilty.
Okay. So let's get your prediction based on everything that you have seen, you have observed. I mean, you're obviously a bright legal mind yourself, or else you wouldn't be in such demand on all the talking head shows. Based on the evidence presented, or the lack thereof, I don't see personally how any juror can vote guilty and be of the belief that the prosecution has met the burden of proof of beyond a reasonable doubt. Your best guess, guilty, acquittal, hung jury, and then secondly, can you quantify, because I think a lot of people would like to know the difference between a preponderance of the evidence standard, which is a lower threshold, compared to what is the threshold here, which is beyond a reasonable doubt. How do you quantify that? Like, what is that numerical number that a juror is saying, has the prosecution reached this to beyond a reasonable doubt? Is it 85% likely? How do they describe that in law school?
Nick, you know, I'm feeling like I'm like a 1L again in my criminal defense class.
Well, I was a 1L for 90 days, buddy.
You know better than me then. So, all right, look, my prediction is this. It should be a not guilty, 100%. The evidence has not proven pretty much anything, and there certainly hasn't been a crime that has been presented. However, I do believe that's going to be a hung jury, just because we are in Manhattan. And remember, the five boroughs are not part of the jury. It's just the Manhattan people who are in the jury. And they are, you know, predominantly liberal people. So that's my prediction. Now, regarding the preponderance of the evidence against beyond a reasonable doubt, beyond a reasonable doubt is very simple. If you feel that there is a scintilla of doubt that President Trump did not do it, that where you could say, look, he probably did, but there's just this little thing, you know, that was presented that kind of questions it. That is reasonable doubt. And you must, not shall, not maybe, you must vote not guilty. Preponderance of the evidence is a much lower standard. So all you really need for that is, he probably did it. Okay. But that is not the standard when it comes to criminal cases. And it's certainly not the case in this.
Okay. David Gelman, great insight. We appreciate it. Thank you so much. And thank you as well for supporting us for our bike ride and supporting Team 1210. We really appreciate it.
Hey, great to be on with you guys, and I love supporting it.
You got it. David Gelman, criminal defense attorney, joining us here on Kale and Company on this Thursday morning. And Dawn, you nailed it. What we were just talking about with what Gelman referred to as the, I pulled a Biden brain fart here. I don't know. I pointed at you like 3 minutes ago. I'm like, yeah, you nailed that. It's exactly what you said, but I forget what it was now.
Yeah, I just think this is unprecedented, and I hope that he's right, that we do have Elise Stefanik. I know J.D. Vance yesterday, they're trying different ways to hold Judge Merchan accountable for this.
Yeah, yep.
But I cannot imagine, if you believe in law and order, and in particular, if you're in the business community, you do not want this to go through. And by the way, remember, you know, what about the international business community and our brand? Greg Stocker today has talked a lot about brand managing, because that's his big title. What about the American brand? What about business people around the nation, around the world?
Mm-hmm.
What does this look like to them? What impact does it have on America, on our brand, that we've got one of the most famous businessmen who was beloved on NBC with a hit show for nearly two decades, former president, on trial for a bookkeeping error, or whatever you want to call it, a mm-hmm. bookkeeping mistake.
Yep.
And they're going to just persecute this guy to no end.
After countless prosecutors declined to pursue charges at the federal level, yeah. at the state level, Cy Vance, the former DA, everybody's like, I'm not touching that. There's nothing here. And this guy's like, oh, I'll take a swing at it. Cool.
And under the direction of somebody who worked for DOJ, yep. Biden's DOJ, yep. until fairly recently.
Yep.
The whole thing just stinks.
It does. Something smells. All right. 855-839-1210. Cut sheet part due on the way. But first, I got to tell you about my friends with Families Behind the Badge. You know my love and respect for first responders, so I am asking you, as we have been asking you for weeks now on the show, to support the Bend to the Shore Bike Tour. It's coming up on Sunday, July 21st, and you have a ton of options. You can ride 65 miles, just like me. Trust me, it sounds difficult. It's really not that hard. You spend 3 days training, you can do it. Trust me. 65 miles from Philly to Atlantic City, or you can ride 30 miles from Hamilton. There's a family-friendly celebration at the Showboat Hotel after the ride. And you can even register to ride with me and Team 1210, sponsored by our buddy David Gelman, who you just heard on the show. I'm returning as the captain of Team 1210, and I want you to join, whether you're riding or just donating to support the cause. Visit bendtoshore.org. And when you sign up with the code NICK1210, they'll knock off $25 from your registration fee. That's ben2shore.org, promo code NICK1210. Let's show everyone how WPHT and Odyssey supports law enforcement. Bend to Shore is organized by Families Behind the Badge Children's Foundation. They provide financial relief for the families of the fallen and injured first responders, and they support the Police Youth Alliance, which fosters a positive relationship between police and the Utes. Back after this.
You know, just a second ago when we played the movie mystery clip with Nemo, and it brought back a rush of memories. Driving in my Honda Odyssey, you know, Piazza minivan, driving the vehicle, the kids in the back playing all those DVDs over the years. But maybe right now you're beyond that point. You've graduated away from the minivan, the kids, the mess. And you're thinking about that luxury vehicle, especially as you plan your summer road trips. Think of my friends at Piazza Premium Automobiles. Piazza has thousands of new and certified pre-owned vehicles. They're available right now from brands such as Mercedes-Benz, Land Rover, Jaguar, Maserati, BMW, Porsche, and so much more. Just visit PiazzaPremiumAutomobiles.com. Stop by one of their Pennsylvania, Delaware, or New Jersey dealers. PIAZZA, PiazzaPremiumAutomobiles.com. Tell them Dawn sent you.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
Good tunes this week. Brian Kester,
yep.
Getting it done. And now we have time for a very brief version of What's on the Cut Sheet, Part 2.
What's on the Cut Sheet?
I do. Yes, thank you, Nick Hale, for pointing this out, because I would have played the unedited version, but I believe the voice in the back edited this for me. Tony Bruno made reference to this yesterday. This was a high school girls soccer announcer who was caught on a hot mic talking about the curves of the soccer moms. He said he wanted to dive off the press box because the game was so bad. The guy's name is Toby Moore. He was caught on the hot mic while announcing a soccer game in Kansas.
Well, if I was announcing high school soccer in Kansas, I'd jump off a building, too.
We've all been here with this. Well, not really, but I'm just trying to find a way to make it relatable to everybody. All right. Cut 20, Phil. Go.
God, was that first half as ugly as I thought it was? That game, that had no flow whatsoever. My mind kind of flipped the kill me now switch at about 30 minutes in. If they're just going to keep kicking the damn ball out of bounds and missing passes all day, I might as well just go home. Yep. Ben Newman down to Claremore. I just want to do a header off the top of the press box. Unfortunately, it's too low. It wouldn't kill me. It's like they're not even trying to pass. They're just chucking the ball downfield. A little technique would be nice. What the hell are they teaching those kids in practice? Up top, baby. Gotta be a little more than I take when it's facing us. Yeah. See if she can tear the f*** off. I can't see the legs, but I can feel the ass hit from here.
Yeah.
This conversation never happened, by the way.
No, of course not. Yeah.
All right. I think we got it all out of our system. We can put the mic live again.
We're back.
Oops. Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, Oops. You know, you wanted to go home and get out of calling high school soccer. I'm pretty sure that you'll never be calling soccer again.
I'm just curious. Where did this air? Like, what?
Well, it was because we gave you the story yesterday with the backdrop. It was like NFSW streaming something. So it's like an internet stream only.
So five people heard it.
Right.
Maybe.
Like, you know, some high school football games on a Friday night are televised on local, you know, cable television or whatever. This was on, like, a streaming internet site only.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
I want to take a header, but the fall won't kill me.
Ouch.
Dawn, do you have any hot mic moments that you know of?
Remember, Greg, you're the brand manager here, and you have to protect the brand.
No. I don't mean here. I mean in your news days.
Yeah,
I'm sure your husband does.
Yeah, probably. I mean, I'm just trying to think if we did. I don't have any famous ones that I recall because two things. I'm really conscious of it and paranoid of it. Number one, but number two, I would say if you're somebody who goes off on the crew.
Yeah.
Okay, if you're somebody who has like temper tantrums or if you're somebody who's a kind, nice person, it matters because the people whose hot mics, you know, stop the hammering, all that stuff, are what that tells me is they're nasty to the crew and they have temper tantrums.
Like Bill O'Reilly.
Yeah.
Lawrence O'Donnell.
Yeah, Lawrence O'Donnell because
O'Reilly will do it live. Yeah.
That's how they treat their crew.
Right.
And so if usually your crew, if they love you, they're going to protect you. Mm-hmm. They're not going to record that stuff.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
All right, but this guy,
he's done.
Was it even a paid gig?
It's a great question.
Probably $50 a game.
You know?
Yeah, he's probably a 10W30.
Kansas. It's Kansas.
Yeah, it's Kansas.
Yeah, he's fired. It was a job. He got fired.
Yeah.
All right, well, this is Philadelphia, so.
All right, Dawn, what do we got lined up 8 minutes out this morning on the Dawn Show?
You know, Trump, we'll start off the top. Trump speaking out. They're back in court. The latest right now, by the way, is the jury already, right off the bat, they are back in there because they have another question.
A third question.
It's not about hot soccer moms, Abel.
Your Honor, can we relitigate the whole case?
Yeah.
We don't remember anything from a month ago.
When can we go home?
I know. I'm hoping the beautiful weather, you know, the beautiful weather.
I will make this prediction. Okay. I don't know if it's going to be today or tomorrow, but it will be before the week is out.
Yeah,
I agree.
You think juror number four is like, hey, I got a tea time Friday at 9:30. Can we wrap up this nonsense?
They're saying today. I don't think it's going to be today. I think it'll be tomorrow, but it could be today.
Okay.
I would not be surprised if it was today.
Okay. Agreed. 10:05, after we update you, you'll hear all the Trump stuff. You'll get it all. You're not going to miss anything. Elizabeth Stell, she's a regular, and we're just talking. She's Commonwealth Foundation. So we'll talk about the perspective on these proposed tax cuts, the impact on families in the Keystone State. Remember, Republicans here actually want to give you a tax cut. We'll talk about that and an update on the you won't believe the money that the Biden administration is pumping into these electric buses.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll get into that as well. And great guests coming up in the 11 o'clock hour, Lauren Stewart, among others. But it's going to be a great show. We're live. We're local. You're not going to miss a thing. We've got it all.
All right. Dawn Show in about 7 minutes as we get to Today in Music History.
What happened on this day in music history? Music History on Kale & Company.
Today, Thursday, May 30th, we celebrate the birthdays of Nikki Heaton, drummer for The Clash, Tom Morello, Klaus Fluoride from the Dead Kennedys, and Patrick Dahlheimer from Live. We also lost Carl Radel from the Derek and the Dominoes on this day in 1980. Singles include Paperback Writer and Rain by the Beatles in 66. Albums include Venus and Mars by Wings in 75. Peter Gabriel's third solo album in 80. Love and Money by Eddie Money in 95. And England's newest hitmakers by the Stones in 64. Yes, they were great last week. Also, in 2017, Bob Seger's Greatest Hits album from 94 is certified diamond for 10 million copies sold. In 2013, the Johnny Cash Museum officially opens in Nashville. That's a really cool museum if you get down there someday. Mm-hmm. And in 87, David Bowie kicks off his Glass Spider tour. But lastly, on this day in 2007, a leaked copy of Icky Thump by the White Stripes was completely played on Chicago station Q101. Jack White actually personally called from Spain, where he was touring, to voice his displeasure.
Wow.
For Kale & Company, I'm Phil Lomquist.
Back when radio was good.
Yeah.
I mean music radio.
Well, yeah.
Let me just preface by saying music radio.
Oh. Yeah, we're good here.
Yeah.
You know,
brand manager.
Yeah, exactly.
By the way, guys, another good month.
Exactly. All right, let's wrap it up with who won Twitter today.
Who won Twitter?
Sean Lucas on the debacle with you and Rich having that Twitter bet.
The debacle.
He says, I'm no corporate radio guy, but this is good marketing for the station. People that don't even know about the station will see this. Okay, Sean, let me just say one thing to you. I love you. You're a great listener. You're a great tweeter along, but interactions on Twitter don't equal listenership.
He's saying it's a good ad. It's like not. Advertisement.
Yeah. You know it's a good ad? Two people having a debate on the radio station, so you can tune in at 7 a.m. and then 3 p.m. or whatever.
And never
cross
forget.
Branding. We start at 6 a.m.
No,
that's
four.
A good ad.
Six, folks.
Stop Twitter debating. Nobody cares. Thank you. Thank you. All right.
Greg's going to go stroke out later in the conference room.
And
Dawn's coming up at about 5 minutes.
5 minutes.
So stay tuned. If the Trump stuff breaks, that'll be the big take tomorrow. If not, I'll find something else that's outrageous in this country. A lot to pick from these days. Stay tuned. Dawn is next. We're back tomorrow morning at 6. And as John Fetterman would say,
good night, everybody.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.